talking about something that these aren't the guys down the street. These aren't the guys on the corner that don't ever talk about God. This is his people. His people. Y'all say we his people. That's right. So afflictions come to his people. But here, I didn't want to get too far into it tonight, so I'm going to go one more. And here's the dimensions of afflictions. Adam and Eve. He said, you can have anything in this garden you want. But in order to show true love to his creation, and in order to give, is a great encouragement. It's one of these, I used to hold on to this one all the time. I still do. When things are going bad, I pull this out. And I look at it, I'm thinking, Lord, are you picking on me? You know, sometimes you ever feel like Charlie Brown? Why is everybody always picking on me? Amen? Well, you know what? The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, talking about, we're going to talk about it right now, so I won't get into it too much. But if you take this verse and you examine it word by word, I was studying it last night, and it just came to me this way. You take this verse and you do it word by word, it gives the anatomy of afflictions. Now, next week we're going to talk the rest of this verse, and then we're going to do another one a little further down, again, talking about the attitude of afflictions. But this is the anatomy of afflictions. As we look here, I want you to see, as we start to break it down, we'll actually get some hope in here. Amen? Somebody say, I need some hope all up in here. Amen. First, there's the definition of afflictions. Afflictions, you can say bad, you can say evil. They're natural, and they're also moral. They're spiritual. They encompass your entire life. Afflictions can come on you at any time and come on you mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically. Afflictions are bad. Amen? Some are just pure out evil. Amen? Anybody had any evil, felt any evil presence lately? You know, when you're going through something thinking, wow, that didn't feel too good. I mean, that was a big old ouchie. I tell Linda sometimes, that was an ouchie. She says, yeah, I felt that ouchie. Amen. Well, it's adversity. There's a whole bunch of words for it. Calamity, mischief, misery, sorrow, trouble. Also, if you got your pencil, you can write this down. It is tightness. It is tightness. It's when you feel like either your chest is about to explode, or you feel like your head is about to be squeezed in a vise because of the afflictions that are coming upon you. So you can take all those, you can take it, and I think about the last week and a half fighting off this chest cold. That's been an affliction. It's been evil. It's been bad. And I felt like I was in a vise. Amen. My chest was in a vise. My head was in a vise. Well, you know something? There's times when you're going through something, maybe you're having a problem with your child, or having a problem with your car, or a problem on your job, and you feel sorrow, trouble. You see the mischief going around, the calamity, and you even feel that tightness. And so when you take that, you can say affliction. God didn't just go, okay, this is a specific thing. It was a generic thing. Like when you go buy an automobile, how many different brands of automobiles are there? A bunch. I mean, even if you think you know how many there is, there's hundreds of brands, but y'all call them all a car. All right? Do you know that when you go to buy apples, there is about 20 different types in Walmart? They got big ones, little ones, green ones, red ones, yellow ones, orange ones. Oh, well, to me, they're orange. Amen. They got all kinds of apples, but we call it apple. What'd you buy? I bought some apples, but they're different kinds. You got the Macintosh, and you got all kinds of stuff. Well, the same way, God said when he said affliction, he encompassed the whole big thing. That way, you can't say, well, because mine is spiritual and theirs is physical, maybe I'm doing something wrong and they're doing something right. No, it can be physical, spiritual, emotional. So, the direction of afflictions. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Now, righteous. Who are the righteous? Those that are called by the name of Christ. Christian. We're the righteous. Do we always do everything right? No. I can raise my hand on that one. I don't always do everything right. You know, sometimes I don't have the best of attitudes. Sometimes, you know, one day, like I told, I was telling one day, I said, it ain't going to work, it ain't going to work, it ain't going to work. And she said, quit being so negative. Be a little positive. So kind of positive, it ain't going to work. All right. Righteous is not necessarily you're perfect, but it's where you're standing. You're standing. It's a position. It's a position. We are under the cross. Amen? So now, would you ever think of afflictions are directed towards the ungodly? But here, they are directed toward the righteous. There is a difference. The righteous will escape those afflictions which come to people because of evil living. That's a fact. There are certain things you're not going to have to worry about. There are certain things that you're not going to catch a hold of if you're living for God. Amen? There are certain things out there that I know that I don't ever have to wonder. I don't have to worry about it. It's not going to happen because I'm living godly. But still, problems come. But righteousness does, just because you're righteous, does not exempt you from afflictions. I wrote them all down here. There's words out here just so you can keep it. I want you to take this and look at it, put it in your Bible, study it, think about it. Just because you say, I'm one of yours, Jesus, does not exempt you from afflictions. Amen? Now, if you're suffering an affliction today, it does not necessarily indicate that you're being punished for evil doing, but rather, it may indicate that you're being refined in the furnace of trial. Wow. That's powerful. You're being refined in that furnace of trial. I love watching that commercial where they take that piece of iron and they beat it and they beat it and they beat a piece of, and they beat it into a steel sword, and it says, pretty cool. I've been an autopilot. And all of a sudden, one phone call. Got knots in my stomach. One phone call, I'm in the bedroom praying, saying, God, you got to help my son, or God, you got to help that person. Or I'm in the car, racing to the hospital. And all of a sudden now, when you get to the hospital, now you got 25 people, things are different. So again, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Now, these words speak of the greatness of our afflictions. Now, this word many has two different meanings. It means greatness in number, and greatness in nature. All right? So greatness in number. I would prefer my afflictions one at a time, please, Lord. If I can put my order in, I just want one tomorrow. That'll be fine. First thing in the morning, let me get up, brush it off my shoulder, keep on going. That'll be fine, Lord. Please let that happen. Guess what? I doubt it. First, great in number, plural. Daily, we experience trials. Acts 14:22 says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Through much tribulation. You know, that word tribulation, you're gonna like this, that word tribulation. If you can put it in possum track talk, I feel like I'm going to pull my hair out. Wow. Many. Many. Somebody say many again. The second word is great in nature. The word translated afflictions means severe afflictions. Severe. When I got text this morning about that young lady getting killed on 306, don't you know their family's going through some severe afflictions? I read an article last night about a dentist in Williamston. He had a guy 71 years old in a chair going to pull a tooth. And when they put him to sleep to pull his tooth, the man quit breathing, and he didn't give him the stuff to help him come out of it, so the man died right there in the chair getting a tooth pulled. The dentist has been barred from practicing for 10 years because he could have given him something to bring him back or to get him out of it, or even at least try, but he didn't. And so the man, pulling his tooth, did. Don't you know that his family is going through some severe afflictions? Dad just, you know, I'm glad I went to the dentist yesterday, and I'm glad that I read that after I went to the dentist. Yeah. You know, I'm very glad I read that after I went to the dentist. So again, you know, there's a person I used to pastor in Williamson. I got a call a couple of months ago, told me that this person had gone in, they were having some minor problems with their heart, minor. And they went in to do a heart cath. And she was allergic to whatever they gave her for the heart cath, and she died before they could do anything about it. Again, you never know. Things can happen so fast. Run up on somebody, see something, see a wreck, whatever. We don't just live in a time where, you know, when I was in grade school, I was in Pamlico County School, the grammar school in Bayburr, and my daddy worked in the meat market, and so he would get me these great little big rubber bands. They were awesome. And I'd take paper clips, and I'd take sucker sticks, and I'd take them things, and I'd get up on top of the top building and look down and take and see people come walking down, and I would just shoot them on top of the head. And, you know, that seemed bad at the time, but now they use guns. I went in one time we had something called literature. We had to read, so we had to read for an hour and a half. That's the very first time they had hour and a half classes, way on back in the day. And in the afternoon, they were still reading for an hour and a half. And so I go in there to read, and I already drank me some milk. And so I got the bright idea. You ever take a milk carton and stomp it? I got the bright idea. I would stomp it before I put it in the trash can. I didn't know it was going to be that loud. I don't think I've ever had to write 1,000 times, "I will not come into Miss Potter's literature class anymore," and bring me a milk carton and put it on the floor and fold it up and stomp it and make a big loud noise and scare everybody half to death 1,000 times. I used a whole bunch of pencils. But you know, that was just mischievous, some of that stuff there. But nowadays, you know, I remember my boys talking about how they come in and did drug raids and checked lockers for drugs. And when Daniel first went undercover, they even talked to him because he looked so young. They talked about taking him and putting him in another school and him being acting like he was a student just so he could find out who was selling drugs in the school. You know what? As the time goes by, you get stronger and stronger and more severe. But you know what? I have decided in my own self, but I found out where sin bound, grace did much more bound. They're not small trials, they're big ones. They give much pain, they're heavy, and they're grievous. But 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "So we do not lose heart, though our outward self is wasting away, our inward self is being renewed day by day." I'm just going to read this whole thing, the last three verses, 16, 17, 18 of 2 Corinthians 4. It says, "For which cause we faint not, though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." God, somebody say, God's got this. Every time you go through something, God's watching. Remember, Satan, again, I can't say it enough, Satan may have his hand on the trigger, but God's got his hand on the throttle. He's watching. He's making sure that it's not more than you can handle with his help. And then each time you grow a little bit more and a little bit more. I was talking to my 30, I don't know how old they are anymore, 33-year-old son. That makes me feel like I've got a couple of miles on me. I was talking to my 33-year-old son yesterday at D.C., and I sat back and I saw him go up against some things, and I remembered how he went up against things like that 10 years ago. Then I thought about it, and he was telling my dad, sometimes it just gets hard. And I said, well, son, I remember how you handled it 10 years ago. I remember how you handled it 5 years ago. I said, son, I'm so proud of you because I'm watching you now as a mature man. Not backing down, you're moving forward. And you're not letting it get the best of you. You're keeping on trucking. You're moving forward, son. And said, and as time goes by, you're going to be even more confident to move forward. These trials aren't going to kill you. God's not going to allow you to be torn all to pieces. God's going to take care of you. Just trust him. I told him I was proud of him, and I prayed with him. And when we hung up, he came back a few minutes later and said, Dad, that was so awesome. What just happened? After he was talking about, he didn't know what was going to happen. After it happened, he said, isn't God good? God's so good. All right, we're going to stop it right there. Next week, we're going to go two more. We're going to finish this verse up. But don't let anybody tell you if you're serving God, it's a bed of roses, because there's some roses, but there's plenty of thorns. I've hit a many a thorn. You can complain because rose bushes have thorns, or you can rejoice that thorn bushes have roses. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that although many are the afflictions of the righteous, you're always there. You always care. And you always spare. You take care of us. You don't let it too much come upon us that we can't handle. You don't let it get so hard that we just can't handle what's coming our way. I thank you, God, that with each year, with each moment, you feel more relieved and released when things come your way, because you know if God didn't let you down yesterday, he's not going to let you down today. Father, I trust you. I thank you, God, and I ask you to minister, Lord, to us and through us, Father, this night. Lord, help us to realize that nothing, absolutely nothing that's coming our way, nothing that is coming our way is going to destroy us. Nothing. You're with us. You're by our side. We have nothing to worry about. You're an awesome God. You're more than capable, more than capable of taking care of us. Lord, I give myself to you, even in all the tight places that I find myself in. I give myself to you, and I thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. Sunday morning, we're going to talk about Isaac being mocked. Come on, bring somebody with you. I know that you'll be blessed. How many's blessed tonight? Amen, amen, amen. Everybody stand up. Brother Dudley, would you just minister in prayer, please?